Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I couldn't be happier, Josh. I sold Alexis Sanchez, and I brought in a Liverpool midfielder.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day for you. Couldn't go wrong, right? I mean, whether you brought in Firmino, Wijnaldum, Sadio Mane.
Yeah, my only regret is that I didn't bring in Emery Chan, who got an assist, and that really would have broken my game week wide open.
We were talking a minute ago about how, you know, there was some part of me, some secret part of me that was like, oh, it'd be amazing to bring in Coutinho right now. But it would have flown in the face, you know, the only Liverpool player who came through, but it would have flown in the face of everything that he's done the last 18 weeks or 17 weeks or whatever. I mean, it would have been the flukiest of fluke moves, you know, so you can't really, anyone who thought they were going to bring him in, you can't feel too bad about that because it just wasn't... It wasn't logical. Even as a differential move, I think you would have been better off with someone like Firmino.
Additionally, not to act like we're Nostradamus or anything, but we were G-chatting right before the kickoff of Liverpool-Leicester. Uh-huh. And we're like, well, you have Mane, I have Firmino. They're not going to score. Obviously, this game is going to be 1-0.
Right.
And Coutinho's going to score a screamer in the 89th minute. Now, we were close. Coutinho did score Liverpool's only goal near the end of the game. We didn't anticipate them being down by three goals at that time, though.
We were, and you and I were separated by 1 point in our 50-buck cup, our year-long head-to-head matchup. And it was probably separated by 1 point going into this match because I think we're 12-1-2 going into this game week. So we are 12-1-12. So we were absolutely even. And now you are 1 point. By 1 point, you're 3 points ahead in the head-to-head.
It's the first time I've had more points than you the entire season. I've led a few times because I have a higher total point score. But ever since game week one, I just haven't been able to edge you.
It's an interesting question whether the head-to-head is a complete crapshoot or not. Right? I mean, it's sort of...
Were we talking about this last week about you always lose your head-to-head in your mini-league to the person who's not even setting their team?
Exactly. I think I lost to average once this year. If you have, I don't know, maybe another does head-to-head.
The ultimate ghost ship, average.
Yeah. if you have an uneven number of people in your head-to-head league, then you like you've got like 15 managers there, so that everyone has someone to play that week. You play against average, which is the overall average score, which is usually pretty low. You know, I mean, I think, you know, this week it's, you know, 45 points and I'm on 71. So, you know, it's usually a pretty big point differential.
Just to go back to the, that 1 point that was between us, between Mane and Firmino, it was highly stressful when Mane went off. Now, I knew that I was ahead of you by 1 point and your last player was all out. Mm-hmm. But I have to sweat a yellow card then for the rest of the game. Obviously, Firmino could just turn around and score a couple of goals or something like that. But
right.
Given the way Liverpool looked today, it was much more likely that he was going to get a yellow card.
And he was, to the extent that he was even active on the pitch. I mean, I felt like he was a total non-entity. I mean, yeah. I felt like Sadio Mane was at least running around. I mean, maybe Klopp just thought this game was over. There's no way we're going to win. And so he started to pull. I don't know. Yeah, it was weird. It did feel like
maybe Klopp, though, they did. Phil scored like immediately following that substitution. So
yeah, true.
I don't know if the substitution just threw Leicester off.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag for me because I'm about to leave for a business trip and I was very busy at work.
Oh,
and
big
so
businessman over there. What are you flying for?
Big businessman. I'm taking the Amtrak. Actually, I'm going to Baltimore for 2 days. It's actually kind of stressful because with the new baby, business trip is like a whole to do.
Yeah,
there's a lot more planning involved. But you know, so when Sadio Mane said David, I just thought, oh, perfect. Now I just get to completely ignore this match. and I didn't even check Twitter. I just thought nothing good is going to happen here. either Firmino is going to score and I'm going to be annoyed, or him getting a yellow was so remote that I was like, nah, it's just, I'm not even going to like, you know, it's like those, sometimes when you don't have a player in the Monday fixture and someone else does, and you're like, well, I guess if he got like, you know, two own goals and a yellow card.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah,
I
right.
can win my head-to-head. So, yeah. So as I said a minute ago, I finished on 71. I did take a 4-point hit. I dropped Jordi Amat, a season-long fixture on my team.
Goodbye, and someone, Jordy.
Yep, someone who I was never able to get rid of. And I turned Amat into Leighton Baines. Then I moved Alexis Sanchez into Sadio Mane. So, Which was the, you know, that was the plan move. And then the Amat to Baines I made kind of late on, it was nice. You know, we had time on Saturday. I mean, I wanted there to be an early Saturday morning fixture, but because there wasn't, I was able to get up and stress about my team for like a solid 2 hours before the deadline.
Lucky for me, I got completely drunk on Friday night and it was just hard enough for me to get up by 10. So.
Okay. Yeah. So I burned four to turn Mott into Baines. It turns out I actually needed him because I only had 10. Yeah. Callum Chambers didn't play at all, which is what ended up actually costing me. If Callum Chambers had played or if Junior Stanislaw had come on for even 1 minute, we would have tied our head to head this game week.
Now, is this like the niggling injury that he's been dealing with the last few weeks?
You know, I think so. It's a foot injury, right? I think that's. Yeah, it says, well, it just says knock on the page right now. So I know it was a stress fracture before. I don't know if that's the issue again, but
I think that means he's just playing gin rummy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I can't complain. 70 was, so I guess it was 67 after the 4-point hit. But I had Seamus Coleman, Harry Kane, Christian Eriksen, Lukaku. You know, the Kane thing it's kind of like the Coutinho move. It's not quite the same thing because you could make a strong case for Kane. We didn't really on the podcast. I mean, I guess
no.
It was hard to watch Romelu Lukaku play Sunderland in the first half of the season. If you watched that match, if you watched the way he scored 3 and probably should have scored like 8, and you saw how bad Sunderland played 2 weeks ago when they lost 4-0 at Crystal Palace.
And seeing how badly Spurs looked against Liverpool the week before.
Right. So, exactly. So Spurs hadn't looked very strong. Liverpool had played in the Europa League at midweek and lost.
Spurs had.
Spurs, excuse me. Yes, Spurs had. And Lukaku, you know, had actually stayed behind, you know, to rest up or get over some, like, you know, small injury that he had. So it just made sense. And, you know, in the end he picked up a goal. So it wasn't a complete loss, but obviously, I would have 14 more points right now if I'd brought in, or, you know, if I'd Captain Kane, but
somehow, you know, it would have all been very sour had Big Rom not gotten that goal, but mm-hmm. him just ending up with a solid 6 points as captain just made this game week that much more palatable.
He was so close to an assist at the end. He was so close to an assist and probably would have had at least 2 bonus points. Yeah. I don't know if you saw this. He played on, I can't remember if it was Valencia or Morales. Probably not Morales, because Morales would have found a way to, like, shoot it. Yeah, 40 yards over the bar. I think it was Valencia, maybe, and Pickford made a great save. And
I did not see that because I was watching the NBC Goal Rush. They right. only show goals on Goal Rush, Josh. Close calls.
And even then, they show them like 5 minutes later. Yeah. You know,
we were saying the announcers on Goal Rush, which is basically they show you a featured match, which I think this Saturday it was Chelsea-Swansea. And then they will just flash to other grounds around the country as goals are scored. But the announcers will say, oh, news of a goal at the Hawthorns. We'll take you there when we have a chance. And meanwhile, right. the ball is like across the touchline and there's just a close up of a manager chewing gum.
I was complaining that I think Goal Rush is too goal centric. Uh-huh. You know, I think that there are times when a team is really, you know, pressing their advantage. You know, I was saying to you on Saturday that the first maybe 10 minutes of the second half of Everton Sunderland were really dramatic, and Sunderland was, you know, really put, you know, at that point it was only 1-0, and they were really, you know, they're pushing, they're trying to get an equalizer. They had a, you know, very good chance of getting an equalizer. And I mean, this is even before the Jermaine Defoe, like, which was crazy. Like, I can't believe he didn't score a goal. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see Jermaine Defoe's crossbar?
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Goal Rush did show that. You have to touch the woodwork to get displayed. Okay.
But even, you know, the like when they were like just attacking, like it would have been nice to show that because it was just good TV.
Yeah, there's just no good way to. Well, I mean, there's probably a good way to do it, but it's never going to be a way to please everyone, I think, with that kind of coverage.
And I guess we shouldn't complain as Americans, right? Because
yeah, we can see the reason they're able to watch. Do Goal Rush is because one broadcaster has the rights to every single match being played in the league.
Exactly. And we can, like, literally watch, like, the tactical cams for these matches if we want to.
With no commentary. It's perfect. Right. All right, so I guess I'll just run through my team real quick so we get the full always cheating picture here.
So let's hear it.
I finished on 68 points with no hits. I ended up going Firmino, as promised last week, in place of Alexis Sanchez, and made a switch in my back line and got rid of some dead weight. I also have Jordi Amat, but I decided to dump Nathan Ake out of punishment because somehow I've lost more value with Nathan Ake than the barnacle that is Jordi Amat. So at 3.9 million, it was finally time for me to jettison Mr.
Whoa,
Ake.
Nathan Ake is down to 3.9 million.
Yeah,
are you serious? That is insane.
That's why my team value is down to an even 100 right now. Because I've been sitting on you know, flashes in the pan like wow. Ake.
I can't believe I have a million more in team value than you do.
I know. My finance advisor is going to get fired immediately. It's been like the worst aspect of my season this year.
We're going to have to do an episode sometime soon where we just talk about the inside of the FPL stats, like how, like which player has risen the highest this year and fallen the most, and it'd be pretty interesting. I mean, like, you know, players like Kapuwe and Ake have it's been like a full 1 million swing, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I ended up bringing in Andrew Robertson from Hull. It was, you know, Maguire was the hot pick, so I like going for Firmino instead of Mane. I decided to just go the same on Hull defense and get the oddball choice, mm-hmm. Robertson. And man, I was very close to a clean sheet and some bonus. And Burnley decided they were actually capable of doubling the number of points that they have gotten away from Turf Moor this season. Now they're on 2. It's incredible.
That's true. And then they tried to throw it away at the end too. I mean, they gave Hull a red card and it just didn't Yeah. Just didn't quite pan out.
And I have to tip my hat to McCauley once again, saving my game week with 10 points. He filched two bonus.
Was the difference. It's actually two weeks in a row now. Gareth McCauley has won you a head-to-head.
Yeah, well, all praise McCauley.
So let's take a look at the Hail Cheaters Super League. Before we do, I wanted to mention to anyone who is a Patreon supporter or I suppose thinking about becoming a Patreon supporter, we have a new exclusive podcast. It's a two-part podcast. We released the first part of it this morning, and it's an interview with Richard Orford, who is a TV presenter and really interesting guy, longtime friend of the podcast.
He's been with us since the very first episode. I can't believe that.
Yeah, and he is much more professional than we are. Forced us to raise our game a little bit. But what was fun about that is he talked about he's been playing fantasy for over 20 years, and this is back in the old mail-in days with the Daily Telegraph. And so it was kind of fun to talk about that. We talked about FPL and poker, it was a good conversation. And he actually, in the second part of it, which we're going to release maybe in a couple weeks, he turned around and actually hosted his own podcast, and he interviewed us, and we talked about ourselves and how we met and how we got into soccer and all that stuff. So
thought it would be easier to talk about myself, Josh.
But. Yeah, I didn't struggle as much as you did. I really I enjoyed. I went on, but if for whatever reason you think that is something you'd want to hear. Then you should. He did for his interview skills alone. You should listen. Not even what we said. So anyway, those are both. One of those on the Patreon page now, and so you can go there. It's patreon.com/alwaystreating, and at any pledge level, you get access to those podcasts.
And those pledges just go to help us offset the cost of actually hosting the podcast, online hosting it, and maybe a couple of draft lager beers.
Yeah, exactly. And if we plan to do a little hiatus this summer, and so when we do that, we're certainly not going to charge anybody for you know months when we're not recording. So anyway, you can go there and you can still join our second half league. And we're down to two managers in the Survivor League. So depending on how long they go, we enacted another one today. Lojunan had Liverpool. If there's time, we'll start a second Survivor League as well. So check it all out there. And but let's get right to the Super League, Brandon.
Okay, I'm going to do the top 10. And if I were to ask you, Josh, how of the top 10, how many do you think are in the top 1K in the world?
I'm going to guess 7.
Well, close. 6.
Okay. Pretty good.
The top 6 in the Hail Cheaters Super League rating in the top 1,000 in the world. And starting at the bottom at number 10, it's Moshe Davidovich, Hebrew Hammer. I'll get that right one of these days. Ninth place, Clichy's Clean Sheets, Fabio Borges. Obviously, I didn't do my
Vogel warm-ups.
I didn't do any warm-ups before we started podcasting. Eighth place, FC Barcelona, Caroline Brady's squad. In seventh, it's the Cuddly Koalas, David Fellheim. And in sixth place, creeping into the top 1K in the world, Arshin Badawala, A-team. In fifth, Acuna Wanmata, Eddie Pirello's team. Fourth place, Reykjavik Runners, Bart Wolf Helgeson. And in third place, Laro, it's Jake Kenyard's team.
Has Jake been up there? And I'm just forgetting.
Yeah, Jake's got a gray dot, so he was definitely stuck there in third place last week at least.
Well, Jake, I'm sorry we didn't give you the proper due last week.
Soon to be a regular in the top 10, Jake Kenyard. Second place, Anders FK, his Bricklayer's squad scored 78 points on the game week. Only outdone by 8th place, Caroline Brady, who got a huge 85 points. And in 1st place, still there, Patrick Connolly, Eat the Kapoo, game week total of 59 points, which brings him to an even 1,600 on the season. And quality. Patrick Connolly is in 60th place in the world. So well done, Patrick.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, congrats, everybody. And
yeah, never too late to join. Go to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, and on the league code is all over our social media as well.
It wasn't all good, though, Brandon. We have some meltdowns here. And I enjoyed – so the our Facebook posts, you know, when I sort of – when I put out the call for questions, it's – I feel like the quality of the posts that we're getting is very high right now. And it sort of feels like a call-in show, you know. It's like a call-in show but with Facebook posts where people sort of – they go through their thinking and they sort of – you know, there's a lot of like wringing of hands, you know, a lot of everyone sort of stressing out. And so hopefully we can, you know, by airing these meltdowns –
it's like a therapy session.
Yeah, we're lightening their load a little bit. So Kevin Musa Man says – okay, first of all, this first meltdown is the humble, braggiest meltdown ever. Okay, so just got to put that out there first. Kevin Musa Man says, this should have been a great week for me. I had my best week all season. We'll have 85 points when subs kick in. But I left Van Aanholt on the end of my bench and changed – which is I don't know, what were you doing? Van Aanholt at the end of the bench?
Yeah.
If you got Van Aanholt, you got to –
at least first on the bench if you're feeling that sheepish about Crystal Palace.
I know. We're trying to make him feel better, and we're taunting him already. and changed my captain to Costa from Kane an hour or so before the game week. One of my mini-league rivals, Captain Kane instead, and almost equaled my score. If I had the extra points I wasted, I would be top of that mini league. So now that 85 feels a little tainted and the joy has been wiped away.
We've all been there where you have by all accounts a fantastic game week, but there's one mix up that could have, you know, theoretically made it perfect.
Yeah, you can't think this way because down this path madness leads, right? you will never enjoy yourself playing fantasy if you think this way, because you could always do better. I am never completely satisfied, but I have to like force myself to appreciate it, you know, because I mean, yeah, I'd be like, you know, we both could have Captain Kane this week.
The whole all 4 million FPL players could have. This is why wars get started, Josh.
You want to take the next one?
Yeah, okay. Andy Lakeman, another meltdown, says, another average week in an average season for me, fed up and bored, no more playing nice. Insert electric guitar solo. Hoping for a double game week for City. I'm triple captaining Kuhn, bringing in Sterling, Stones, Crouch, and Ibra. And then the week after, more hits, more power, death or glory from here on in. Banzai!
Andy, do it. I want to see it happen. And I hope Banzai was a reference to Mike Tyson's punch out too, because I think
Banzai is a reference to Lee Dixon. During the Spurs Liverpool match, he actually made a hi-ya sound,
really?
When there was a replay of a Heung-min Son tackle.
That's offensive.
It was extremely offensive, and the entire internet pointed this out to Mr. Lee Dixon, who I actually loathe his commentary, but I don't want to be that big of a hater.
I don't like sports commentary in general. I mean, I'm just not a fan. I actually think that English soccer in general is a lot better than American sports commentary. I mean, NFL commentary is execrable, and college basketball is right up there too. Anyway, Jeff Petter, friend of the podcast, real life friend as well, says I think I can go that far.
Close
certainly,
personal
certainly,
friend, Jeff Petter.
Yeah. Says Arg Coleman. 4 weeks ago, when Baines over him, man, was that the wrong choice? Anyway, I'm now waiting on Phillips and McGuire's fitness for game week 28. Planning, eh? You guys got any such troubles?
Oh, I don't have any injury concerns at the moment, which I guess I should feel lucky. My real concern for game week 28 is fielding more than 6 players, which we'll talk about later in the podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah. I've got lots of troubles, Jeff, but I've been talking about them for 26 game weeks now.
True.
I mean, you know, only being able to field 10 players this game week. I mean, it's been a very fun. I mean, bringing in Junior Stanislaw right before he inexplicably fell out of favor.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is just terrible luck, because there was no way for at least 2 guys living on the East Coast of the United States to see that one coming.
He keeps making the bench, and they keep needing goals, and he keeps not coming in. And just like, how many guys do I have to see Pew come in, you know, when they're down 3-1 or 2-1 or something? And I mean, the guy was good enough to be on. There must be something going on. I don't know. He's trying to teach him a lesson or something. I mean, it can't be that he's just not good enough all of a sudden after, you know, being in this like rich run of form for several weeks.
Yeah. It's anybody's guess. Now, Coleman versus Baines, you have both Coleman and Baines now, which I feel you've got to be pretty excited about that.
I did the double. I mean, obviously, you know, Gaming 27 is I'm planning to actually bench Baines for Gaming 27. I'm going to start Coleman just because there's enough, you know, attacking threat there. But just the way my team is set up, I knew that I could field three defenders without fielding double Everton away, and then they're home, you know, in game weeks 28 and 29, and those are both really good fixtures. So I thought it was worth it. You know, I thought actually Baines could have had a couple of different times when Baines could have had assists. So
Everton is looking great in recent weeks.
It's Morgan Schneiderlin. I swear, I tweeted about this on Saturday, but he's completely changed that team. I mean, they just really needed someone like him, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, Brandon, let's take a quick break. Let's get to the key topic, the one that broke literally hours after we recorded last week's episode of the podcast.
Not only did the news break, our brains broke shortly thereafter.
I know. It's almost. Let's take a break and then let's get into it. All right.
Okay.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we are back. Manchester City, perhaps you've heard of the club. They're known for not drawing fans for Champions League fixtures and for having pretty bad defense.
Sure. I've heard of them.
So they plan to have a...
Also Oasis.
Also Sergio Aguero, the mercurial Brocktoon.
I've never heard of.
Okay, well, we'll talk about him later then. Okay. So they're out of nowhere. They have a possible double game week 27 that is about to. Okay, so they need to win. This podcast could be completely worthless if they lose at home to Huddersfield Town in 2 days. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
We have 24 hours in which to make this podcast work. So come on, guys. Give us all the listens in 24 hours before Huddersfield definitely beats City.
Right, exactly. So they have a double game week in 27. They play Sunderland and Stoke. I believe are those they're both away, right? Am I correct in thinking that?
That is the Sunderland match definitely away, and the Stoke match would be at the Etihad.
Okay, so home to Stoke. And away to Sunderland. Now we've just seen what Stoke can do on the road to a good team, and they completely shut them down, as we saw. I mean, Spurs couldn't get anything going.
No, it was they couldn't even get out of their own half.
Yeah,
Arnautovic was all over the place.
Now I'll admit, I only saw the second half of the Spurs game, and I believe it was 0-0 going into that second half. So didn't allow.
You had some sort of like blanket covering the upper left of your TV screen. And you're like, exactly. I'm not going to even move that.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Not interested in what the score is.
I'm assuming that was a 0-0 draw. I don't know why so many Spurs players were celebrating at the end of that game. I guess the point is a point, right? So they're playing two very bad teams, but it's very tricky it's tricky for a lot of reasons. Let's get into all the reasons why it's tricky, because there are many, and it's not just about this team. So, they have been super mercurial all season, and this applies to every attacking player in this team, right?
Yep.
Certainly Aguero, up and down all season. Raheem Sterling has been great for the last several weeks, but then he went in this stretch of about 10 weeks, right when I brought him in, actually, around game week 6, where he's stopped scoring. And Kevin De Bruyne, incredibly expensive in the FPL game, and kind of does everything but score and get assists. Mm-hmm. He's turning into David Silva, you know, where David Silva all over the place and then somehow doesn't get any points.
Yep.
And then you have these other players like Sané, and I suppose you can include Yaya Toure in there. Yep. And then you have this defense that, in theory, you have these two fixtures, and there's, you know, a pretty good chance that they could keep at least a clean sheet. But who knows, right? I mean, they can see goals all the time, and
yep.
You know, Jermaine Defoe scored away at the Etihad in the first half of the season. I don't know why he couldn't score at home to Manchester City. I mean, what have we seen out of this Manchester? I mean, they just you know, shipped three goals in the Champions League to Monaco. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, who knows? I mean, Monaco is a great team, or, you know, very good team, but, you know, there's certainly no...
by all accounts, it was not a defensive highlight reel for either team.
So that's
why City is complicated, but it's further complicated because our FPL double game week brain gets switched on for the first time this season, and there is the seeming necessity to play it.
Right.
Did you have something else you wanted to say?
I do have more to say, but I want you to talk too.
Okay. So yeah, it's the double game week. You feel like you have to play it, but City blanks in game week 28. So if we're making moves to play City in game week 27, we're also struggling to field the full squad in 28. So any move we make to get City players in for 27 is going to have to immediately be rectified. So we're like spending points after points to play this double game week. So I think the real problem is, A, like you're saying, do we trust the City team to just flat out produce FPL points? And then B, how do we make it work for our budget and for our transfers going into 28?
And C, which is what I was trying to talk over you a minute ago, very rudely, is do we trust Pep to put the same team out there two game weeks in a row? You know, I mean, if they play twice in 5 days, is there a single player in the entire squad that you would say confidently is going to play both game weeks?
I mean, there are a few that I might lean toward, but there are, I believe, zero that I would say 100% absolutely will start.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, okay, maybe no, not even the keepers, right? I was gonna say, well, maybe, but Caballero, I mean, he's not a lock.
Pep clearly loves Claudio Bravo. He brought him over there. You never know if he's just gonna wake up one day and say, all right, Bravo's ready again. Yeah.
Home to Stoke City. Here's your chance to get your confidence back. Yeah.
Not likely, but it's possible.
Okay, so let's get to a couple of the questions that we have here as we start to think about this. FPL Piglet says, Q1, question one, it's all about the possible Man City double game week. If you could only pick one, who would you pick? One, Sterling, two, KDB, or three, Sané? And then he says, question two, and how many hits is Mr. Obvious Captain Choice, Sergio Aguero, worth? Minus 8, minus 12, minus 16.
Banzai.
okay, Raheem, so Raheem, for, first.
Raheem Sterling first, for me is number one, right?
Of the three, yeah, I guess I would go Sterling one. KDB, first of all, I can't afford to bring KDB in. I'm not going to rearrange my team to bring in Kevin De Bruyne for two game weeks. I mean, I actually think he's probably the player who's most likely to play both these games, of the possible attacking assets. But you know, you'd have to free up about 10.5 million. I mean, if you still had Alexis Sanchez in your team, that's not a bad move. I mean, I guess you could turn Hazard if you still had him into Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah. I think there have been three. It looks like there have been three games this season where KDB has come in as a substitute, and there's just been one where he flat out hasn't played. That was the Spurs match when Spurs annihilated them.
So if you have, I think we're agreed. Sterling, I guess I would probably go. If money were not an option, I guess I might go. Even then, I guess I would go Sterling, KDB, Sané. So I would go in that order.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does Torre rate for you at all, or Silva?
Torre is a fun option just because he is on penalties. And let's see. I mean, he's started every match since game week 16.
Yeah. There's a good chance he'll play both matches.
So, yeah, I would actually throw them up at least level with Leroy Sané just because
he's the cheapest, 7.3.
Yeah, Torre is the cheapest. And Sané, even though he's like nailed on to the starting 11 at the moment, going back to what you were saying about the rotation, and you just don't know. And I see Sané would be one of the first to get rotated.
I mean, if only to have a player on my team named Leroy Sané. I mean, the human troll doll. I mean, it would be it's appealing, but
it is very appealing. I just want to know what he gets up to on his day off. I feel like he'd be a fun hang.
And okay, so how many hits is Mr. Obvious Captain Choice Aguero worth? Are you certain to bring in Aguero this game week, Brandon? Is this a certainty for you?
It's all but certain. So here is the dilemma I see. Right now, my front three, like I think many managers, if not most managers, if not every single manager, it's Lukaku. We have the same starting three: Lukaku, Kane, and Ibrahimovic. Now let's go through the three of these. Lukaku, you need for game week 28.
Right.
Kane coming off of two hat tricks in one week.
Right. As well as in a home fixture as well coming up.
Yeah. And then Ibrahimovic, who is just equally undroppable, highly consistent. I mean, of all of these, he has the lowest capacity to explode. But he's the highest owned. You're most likely to have a lot of value wrapped up in Ibra right now. All three of these guys.
Ibra's home to Bournemouth. I mean,
yes. Also, not to mention the fact that he is one of the best captain options in game week 27. So, and I can't sell any of these guys without losing team value. And as I sort of dropped that bomb early in the podcast, team value 100 even back to where we started. Yep. I can't afford to sell any of these guys. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm almost certain to not bring in Mr. Aguero, and just it's rolling the dice.
I am really on the fence about this. If Kane had a Everton's not a good fixture, but it's not that bad either. And he is home. I mean, if they were away to Burnley, even, you know, if they just were at like a Middles burger, you know, if they were just at a place
trying it there for a second.
I did think about trying it. If they were just at a place where you thought they were going to park the bus and, Spurs would probably win, but it'd be a 1-0 game or something like that. Then it'd be very easy to just drop, you know, Kane for Aguero. But Aguero has been really mercurial. Even though he's a sure starter, probably both fixtures. I'd say that, what do we think? It's a 75% chance or better he starts both games. It wouldn't shock me.
I'd go as high as 82% chance he starts.
82. I can't go that high. I would go 76. I'm willing to give you one more percentage point.
All right, that's fine.
So the question from Scott Gill, it's a seemingly obvious answer, but one you're worth at least thinking about, which is, if neither of you have any of these players, would you rather have for next week Ibrahimovic or a City player? So would you rather have Ibra or any City player for game week 27?
Oh, gosh, that's tough.
So Ibrahimovic scored about 300 goals in the last five games.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to give the question due, but you have to go with Ibra on that one.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think that
the double game week is kind of screwing me up here because, it's so easy to see like Raheem Sterling doing the business in one of these matches, you know, getting a goal and I could see him coming out with 12 to 15 points on the week pretty easily.
But you could also see Ibra doing the same thing.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're not sort of blowing up your team in the process.
There is a temptation to just completely avoid all of the Man City options and just not bring any of them in. I mean, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring in at least one. I suppose I could end up bringing in two. I mean, I need to take some risks, just to keep climbing up the tables in all of my leagues, and it's just too good of an opportunity. But I don't love it.
What about defense? We were talking with Richard Orford on our Patreon podcast, and he threatened us, Josh, to bring in John Stones into his FPL team.
Yeah. First of all, there's just no chance that City's going to keep two straight clean sheets. They're going to concede a goal either home to Stoke or away to Sunderland. So at best, you're maybe looking at 8 points for these players, right? So assuming you're going to burn four to bring in one of these defenders, I guess you just have to if you don't think that your players can keep – I don't know. I mean, all these defenders are bad, and they concede a lot of goals. And, I mean, I know John – I mean, what is John Stones down to now? He's
he's at 4.7.
So, I mean, he's affordable for sure. I mean – I guess if I found out that Phil Jones was still, I think there's a pretty good chance that Phil Jones finally plays again this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a Phil Jones thing, right? To like come off in the 59th minute,
and, the ultimate gurn.
Yeah, with this issue that he was like telling he was like going to be fine in 2 days, and it's been like a month, and he's still on the bench.
He was probably injecting himself with really weird stuff he found around his house, thinking to make him feel better.
When we do next year's 10 tips for FPL for success, we're going to target every injury, like every injury prone player, and we're just going to put them all on a big board, like a big wall, and we're just going to take a photo of it, and we're going to post it as our avatar. Uh-huh. And that avatar is just going to be the players that you should not bring in because they cannot stay healthy. And it's going to ruin your team.
That avatar is going to be impossible to read, by the way. Lots of names, very tiny print.
We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll talk to Twitter and maybe we can get the avatar size just changed.
The DPI ratio is going to be insane. Be very, very legible.
I mean, Emmett Sutton was talking about, getting Aguero for a hit, is that going to backfire? I mean, so we're being very negative about this, and it's the first double game week of the season. You'd think there'd be more excitement, but it's such a tricky game week, and it just, you can't drop any player who's going to play in game week 28, right? Because it's already so hard to field a full team in game week 20. I have seven players right now who are going to play in that fixture, and two of them are West Brom defenders, who are going to play away to Everton in game week 28. So I mean, I'm not expecting a huge haul from those guys either. So none of those seven players are on the table as players I want to drop for this fixture because I need to be bringing in more Lukaku to me isn't an option to drop for Aguero because I would just bring him right back in because he's like the only good striking option for game week 28. I mean, there's a good chance I'm only going to have one striker that fixture. So it's very tricky. So, okay, let's if it's Friday right now, Brandon, and Man City have won their FA Cup match and definitely have a double game week.
Okay, may still be celebrating that victory over Huddersfield. Come
sure
Friday
you will
night.
Be. You'll be out with Moonchester and Moonbeam. who is the one City player that you're going to bring in this game week?
I'm going with Sterling. Josh, I'm just looking at these stats that you pulled, and on goal attempts alone, last six games, Aguero, 13 goal attempts, Sterling, exactly 13 goal attempts. And on those odds, I just like Sterling's value a lot more. And given what I was just saying about the strikers that we're sitting on that we're loath to get rid of, I can definitely see a swap for me of doing a short-term Dele Alli switch. And we talked a bit last week about Spurs having one of the more enticing runs of fixtures after game week 28, and I want to be all about Spurs then. But I don't know, after watching Dele Alli play the last few weeks and Christian Eriksen play, I wouldn't be sad if I drop Dele Alli, pick up Sterling just to rotate into Christian Eriksen in a couple weeks.
Exactly. You can bring him. You can bring either one back in, pretty easily.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, the value hasn't been so crazy with the Spurs midfield that you're losing that much value.
Yeah, Sterling is where I'm leaning as well. I mean, Aguero. I mean, I guess you can't really look at his recent stats and draw too many conclusions because he basically was became a bench player gaming 23 and 24. He played 18 minutes and 8 minutes, finally gets back on the pitch when Jesus goes down in gaming 25, plays 76 minutes and you know, picked up an assist, right? Well, I guess it was an own goal, right? It was the shot on, it could have been a goal, but they called it an own goal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the guy has only scored, you know, one goal in the last, in his last 12 fixtures, going back to the last time he scored two goals away to Burnley in game week 13. And since then he scored one goal, and that was, in 45 minutes of play at home to Burnley. So it's really, he scores against Burnley and, struggles against everybody else. I mean, but in the meantime, he has suspension and he's been on the bench, and I just don't know how you could look at Aguero. I mean, okay, Aguero's a great player and, you know, he's the only real striker on this team. But it's hard to get excited about having him for a double game week. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, last season I triple captained him and picked up like 75 points. You know, I mean, I know how great he is, but it is kind of sad. Well, I just love Aguero. I love the way he plays. He's kind of like Robin Van Persie. There's just something about a really great striker that just, it transcends your rooting interest a little bit. I mean, even when Van Persie played for the traitorous Van Persie moved from Arsenal to Man United. I can still admire the way that Van Persie played because he was so perfect. You know, there's something about him that's just so, he was a perfect striker.
Yeah,
he was
like the Roger Federer of strikers.
Yeah. Speaking of injury prone, but yeah.
I think we're settled on the Man City situation, but I think we should just state for the record, if you are looking to make up some ground, it is not out of the question to bring in Sergio Aguero on a punt, on a double game week punt.
No, exactly. I mean, if you can do it for without a point hit too, I mean, you know, Kane has a pretty good fixture, but you know, he doesn't play in game week 28, and you know, you can move right back to him for game week 29. You know, from Aguero to, I mean, it'd be easier to bring in two City players if their fixtures weren't so bad from game week 29 through, I think, 31 or 32. Talked about this a little bit in last week's episode of the podcast. So I think that if you're going to bring in these players, then you're just immediately going to drop them for game week 28, then I think it's fine. But yeah, it's tricky. I mean, the upside is only people who are listening to this podcast even like know that there's a double game. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of edge to be gained. And Richard actually talked about this in our podcast we did with him yesterday. There's a lot of edge to be gained in being like, at least a little aggressive with these double game weeks, because you're just going to have a lot of managers who don't know what is going on and are not prepared for the double game week. They're not prepared for game week 28. You know, you're really going to be able to make up some ground if you can even field 8 or 9 players in game week 28. So we're all kind of screwed the next couple game weeks.
Yeah. Everything we were all putting our plans into place until this double game week got announced, and then it was all out the window. Speaking of out the window, should we talk about Liverpool?
Yeah. Just a couple of questions. Luke Funberg says, have we all screwed up taking out Sanchez for Mane? Dion says, I'm thinking of Mane and Firmino in for Ali and Sanchez. No funds invested in Sanchez. Is that a good move? So what were your thoughts last week, Dion? Yeah. Have your thoughts on Liverpool changed at all, given today's fixture?
Well, I mean, a little bit, but I have to say I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in how they played against Leicester, because I think we are all counting on points there, because it's impossible to predict what's going to happen in this Liverpool-Arsenal fixture. Mm-hmm. But then we're still very happy to have these guys for game week 28 when they
I think it was a trap fix. I don't know if trap is quite the right word, but you know, they had a week off. They were a little rusty. You know, I mean, Leicester just fired their manager. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on these guys to perform. There's probably a sense of relief that came with Ronnie Eric going, just not because they didn't respect him, but just because it was just hanging over the team. You know what was going to happen with this guy. Yep. So I think that it was always going to be a tough game. I thought Leicester played really well. They looked like the Leicester of old. I just don't know how much you can blame Liverpool for that.
I do wonder if it, you know, as much has been being made of the 16 days that Liverpool had between this and their last match, and shouldn't they have been rested and ready to play? But I think sometimes that works against you in that you've got to sort totally. Of kick the tires, shake the rust off. And so
they
come up against Arsenal and they do what they did to Spurs. And Arsenal have arguably a much worse defense than Spurs do.
Yeah. How many times does that have excuse me, how many times does that have to happen? Like, how many times do we have this conversation where I feel like we have this exact same conversation every year around this time, which is that some team or a couple teams, you know, they're off for like, you know, 2.5 weeks and they come back and they play, you know, like garbage the first game back. And we're like, why didn't they play better? They had 17 days off, you know, and it's not conducive to winning. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe long term, I'm sure it is, you know, you can get healthy and all that stuff. But, you know, that first match back, I think it's really tricky because, just getting to that level again, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, Leicester had this, you know, huge Champions League match they played just a few days ago. You know, they're, you know, engaged. So,
yeah. I still don't know. I'm trying to think through Dion's question here of Mane and Firmino in for Ali and Sanchez. It's based on just what we were talking about with City. I think Dion's got an opportunity, a rare opportunity to kind of seamlessly play the double game week.
Right. I think so too. You could go, what, De Bruyne and Sterling?
Well, I'm thinking maybe he gets Liverpool in after game week 27.
Just, right, exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, De Bruyne and Sterling. In for Mane and Firmino. That's easy. Go for it.
Dean. And maybe Coutinho in game week 28 instead of Mane, right? I mean, Coutinho is, you know, he's kind of a form player and, you know, 8.2, he's the cheapest of those big three options. Lallana was not very impressive in this game. I felt like I didn't really see him do anything.
Yeah. He's gone all Cesc Fabregas in that he, had a really great start to the season.
Yeah.
Kind of tailed off.
Yeah,
totally withholding judgment until this Arsenal game.
You're just withholding in general. That's kind of your thing.
Yes, yes. And look at my 401k. That'll tell you everything you need to know.
I'm definitely looking at, nothing has changed for me. I'm still looking at bringing in a second Liverpool player for game week 28. I'm probably going to bring in Philippe Coutinho. I might even bring in two Liverpool players. I might end up bringing in, bringing in a Liverpool defender for game week 28 makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're going to have, if you only have two defenders who can even play that game week, then it seems totally worth the risk to me to bring in,
one Lucas Leiva.
Yeah, not Lucas. Well, he's classified as a midfielder anyway, isn't he?
He's OOP.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Matip. I thought Matip was playing kind of far forward in this game.
Yeah, Matip's got a headed goal in him.
Yeah, so maybe Matip or, I don't know, you know, Nathaniel Klein is kind of expensive, though. So we'll talk more about Game Week 28 next week's podcast, though. But, you know, I think that you have to be thinking about it a little bit. And I'm certainly not planning to drop anybody who can play in Game Week 28 because there are just so few teams that do play.
Yeah, nobody on Liverpool gets punished yet. They have a stay of execution.
Yeah, for now.
Okay, so we need to preview Game Week 27, don't we?
Yeah, but let's take a little break first.
Okay.
Let's recharge the batteries, Brandon, like Liverpool did. And so we'll be very rusty in a couple minutes.
So our preview of 27 is going to be terrible, by the way.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Okay, we're back, and we are going to preview Game Week 27, which starts off with Manchester United hosting the Cherries, who, you might know, have a terrible defense. So, slam dunk captaincy here for you, Josh, barring a Manchester City maneuver?
Yeah. Well, it's either Ibra or a Man City player, and it's going to be a tough call. Really, really tricky.
It's also another early kickoff situation.
That doesn't bother me as much, especially with a guy like Zlatan. I mean, that guy, you know, he's always ready to score.
He's always ready to score a goal, though. Generally,
he scored two on Sunday, Brandon.
Yeah, he did. I have so many questions about that Southampton defense. Maya Yoshida and some guy who I told everyone a couple months ago I would never commit this guy's name to memory, and I still haven't.
I know. And, you know, Gabby Adini. And if Southampton were in this run where they played like one game and like one match in 6 weeks or whatever, I mean, he'd be such an appealing option.
Oh, he I'm all in on Gabby Adini.
He is going to be a fantastic wild card option in like 2 or 3 weeks, because they're going to have 2 double game weeks coming up, and he's going to be a fantastic option. Okay. So game week. Yeah. So Man United, Bournemouth, we think that we both think they're going to win. I think they're going to win very handily. I think this is a 3-0 Man United win. I don't see anything from Bournemouth, and I expect that Junior Stanislas will remain, you know, I don't know. Out to lunch. Exactly.
Yeah, United is going to be pumping after their EFL Cup win. They're going to be home with their very shiny. That EFL Cup is incredibly shiny, is it not?
Yeah, yeah.
And their fans are going to be loving it. It's going to be a real party, and they're going to sadly crush Bournemouth. Nobody wants to see Bournemouth get crushed, but it's going to happen.
Leicester Hull. Now, if Leicester weren't away, or if Leicester were playing in Game Week 28, then Jamie Vardy would be an interesting option here, given his surged form.
I was loving my Andrew Robertson pickup until I saw Leicester completely annihilate Liverpool.
Yeah. I think this is a handy Leicester win. I'll guess something like 2-0. I mean, is anyone scoring in Hull right now? I know they did score this last game week, but I don't know how they're scoring. I don't really understand this whole team though. It's a little different with the new manager, and it's like
I think they've got
see a lot of value there, and so it's been hard for me to pay too much attention.
Well, they've got a few new moving pieces. I mean, they've got a new manager, plus they've got a bunch of new attacking players. So I feel like the whole attacking thing hasn't like totally crystallized yet, but they could easily show up and score a couple of goals against Leicester. I mean, their defense isn't a shining beacon or anything like that.
So you think Hull 5-0 over Leicester?
I think I'm going to say it's going to be a really gritty 2-1 win for Leicester City.
Okay. I mean, it could be Leicester's revenge. You remember they lost to Hull in game week 1.
Yeah, with the double bicycle kick.
That's right. The most amazing season opening goal ever, right? A double bicycle. Stoke, Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough?
Should we make this a pass? I don't want to talk about this game.
Yeah, Stoke is really... Stoke is very lackluster, as is Middlesbrough.
All right, so this is it's a 1-1 or a 0-0, right? Let's just pass.
Hey, it's an opportunity to play Martin Deroon, and I'll take any opportunity to do that.
Eric Peters almost had an assist. Swansea in the Spurs game. Swansea Burnley, what a pass from Gylfi Sigurdsson in that Chelsea game.
It was like he just dropped it right in that no man's land perfectly.
Yeah, it was like a quarterback. Llorente
looked like the biggest man in all of England in that moment. He just like leapt over everyone and.
I thought you meant metaphorically. Like
he looked like a giant.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Spanish Olivier Giroud.
He's famous for his mane, right?
Isn't Llorente like famous? The lion or something like that?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Awesome goal. And as someone who doesn't have a Chelsea defender at the moment, it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
As an Alonso owner, I wanted to strangle Victor Moses in that moment.
So another thing that's annoying about the Man City game is I really want to bring in Gylfi Sigurdsson for this match. And I don't know that I could to do it. I guess I would have to commit to bringing in Aguero, and then I would go, I would basically just drop both of my Spurs players. I'd drop Eriksen, and then I would turn Kane into Aguero. But I just don't know if that's worth the -4. I mean, I don't know. It's a tricky one.
That's quite a risk.
Yeah, it's quite a risk.
I
expect Swansea to win this game, right? I mean, Burnley is not festering away.
I keep saying as a Tom Carroll booster, I keep waiting for Tom Carroll to have a game where, you know, he has like better than a 50% pass completion Riccio.
Yeah.
He looks really good. He fits into the side very well, but he makes a lot of dumb mistakes.
Yeah, you got in my head about Carroll. I almost brought in Carroll myself a couple weeks ago. Watford, Southampton.
Okay, so again, I have these issues with Southampton's defense, so I'm banking on Watford scoring in this game. I think Watford definitely scores. Then it's just a matter of how they handle. I mean, Southampton looked amazing. Like, they were totally dialed in offensively in their cup final against United. So with guys like Gabbiadini and all their other attacking threats, Watford is probably going to let in a few goals too. So it's kind of a toss-up for me, but there's no defensive options of any kind here.
I agree. This isn't a game I'd want to like place a bet on. That being said, I'm not even going to guess a score. I agree. I don't think there's going to be any clean sheets in the game.
I have a tendency to think that Southampton will win. I don't know, just because Watford has never inspired anyone a single game this season.
Yeah, it's true. They could be a little demoralized after the after losing the cup final. I don't know, you know, how much effect that'll, you know, it could have them down a little bit, but we'll see. West Brom, Crystal Palace.
Interesting. Another, I feel like it's a Pulis derby every weekend.
I forget sometimes that he was the Crystal Palace manager.
Yeah. Famously, like, extorted them for $3.5 million or something like that.
So we know that West Brom will concede a goal in the first 8 minutes, as they have in every game the last 25 game weeks. So who will they concede a goal to on Crystal Palace is the question. Is it Zaha? Is it Benteke?
Well, it won't be Andros Townsend. It probably won't be. Could it be Tompkins?
I'm going to go Scott Dan.
Scott Dan. All right.
I'm going to put Dan on the corner.
I'm going to put a marker down on Zaha.
Okay. I think it's going to be Dan in real life. That's my guess. All right. But I think that West Brom will still win because every defender but Nyam will score a goal. Yeah. So it'll be a 3-2 West Brom win.
McCauley with a perfect hat trick. Yeah. He'll score. Somebody will deflect a shot off of every part of McCauley's body.
I think you're right about that. Good prediction. Liverpool hosting Arsenal. Interesting match. Arsenal, which are a complete shambles.
I like how you say that, like, oh, I didn't expect to see this fixture come up.
I'm saying it as a person who is so disgusted with Arsenal that I think it's hard for me to even root for them to win right now because I like need a break. I need like an emotional break from this team, and it's complete messness.
It was a nice reprieve to not have to deal with the shiteness of Arsenal this past game week. It really was.
And Wenger, I mean, just say you're retiring. I cannot believe he hasn't announced it yet. I mean, if this guy comes back next year, I really think that I'm done with the squad. I mean, I've said this for so many years, but I can't deal with it anymore. I cannot deal with the squad.
It's like I'm listening to a very civil Arsenal TV episode.
I know. It's like I'm just stuck in traction. I hope that Liverpool destroy Arsenal.
Me too.
As punishment for Arsenal being so annoying. And I want it to be a 6-0 game. I will say 6-2 because I assume that Olivier Giroud and Kieran Gibbs will score 90th minute goals.
At the same time, multi-ball. We said at the top, like, oh, isn't it disappointing to have got rid of Alexis Sanchez? But I'm actually feeling pretty stoked going into this game.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't play in game week 28, you know, so I feel fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Alexis Sanchez, who on the Arsenal team would you even want? Like, Mesut Ozil is sort of like circling the drain right now. And then it's just like a cast of misfits between
Oxlade and Shane. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, I'm too depressed. Let's move on. Yeah, so Sunday, Spurs, Everton, really interesting match. Despite being an Arsenal fan, the match I really want to watch is the Spurs-Everton match.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I mean, this game should be awesome, right? I mean, I think that's – I don't know. I mean, Spurs probably win, but I really – I mean, this could be – I feel like a lot of different score lines are on the table here. I mean, this could be 0-0. This could be 2-1. I want to see Lukaku actually play well on the road against a good team. I feel like that is not a – that is not anything he really has in his arsenal.
Well, the problem is it's down to the midfield in a sense. Yeah. If guys like Ross Barkley – I mean, having not watched the game like you did, it sounds like Morgan Schneiderlin might be the linchpin here to actually help them push the ball forward, and Barkley doesn't have to be responsible for, like, navigating the ball around five different defensive players.
I'm still not sure that I think that Everton is a better team with Ross Barkley doing all his Ross Barkley shit, you know, like over dribbling and taking every corner and every free kick and
growing his hair out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ross Barkley he's a good player. He's kind of a form player though too. You know, he's so annoying because he should be doing this all the time. You know, yeah. and then it's like, why do you have these stretches of 12 game weeks where you don't do anything? Like, how? I don't know. It's like he's got like a mental block sometimes. So anyway, I think this is kind of a tricky game I wouldn't captain anybody in this game because I think it's really hard to predict, you know, who's going to score, where the goals are going to come from. I guess I'm going to predict like a 1-0 Spurs win. That's my prediction, but a good game.
Yeah. I'm going to predict, I'm going to predict a 3-1 scoreline in favor of Spurs, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's going to be a close 3-1.
A close 3. Yeah. Right. 2-1 and then a late goal or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like from Sun. Yeah. Sunderland host Man City. It's late game on Sunday. What's your pick, Brandon?
Manchester City will win. They won't score until around about the 65th minute, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And then the game will just sort of peter out after that.
Okay, it's going to Peter Crouch out. I think Moonchester will get a goal early in the second half, and then Moonbeam will get a second goal. I don't know. I think that I can see Sunderland scoring a goal in this game. I think Jermaine Defoe is. I think he likes to play against teams like Man City. I mean, I feel like he knows how to break down a shitty defense. I'm cursing a lot at the end of this podcast. He knows how to break down a bad defense like Man City's. And I think that Man City will probably win though. I agree. So I'll say like a 2-1 Man City win with goals from De Bruyne and Sterling.
Mm-hmm. I really wish Jermaine Defoe would play on the field wearing Beats headphones, because he doesn't seem to be paying attention to anything that's going on the field other than what he's doing. And I could just like putting the cassette tape into the Walkman, throwing on those Beats headphones.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a perfect spot for him, right? I mean, it's a squad that has like there's no challenge to him as a striker, so he can just do whatever he wants with no repercussions.
Which is cool. He's great. I love it. That's fine. Next
sure.
Game.
Yeah.
Next match.
Chelsea, West Ham.
Okay.
It's Monday fixture.
Chelsea, I think, are going to stop West Ham. I think that this is going to be a bit of a rout and a clean sheet for Chelsea. You've got an injured Andy Carroll, Mikel Antonio out with a red card. So there goes their two lumps that they passed the ball to. So they're basically Hull City at this point. They're just trying to get in a position where Snodgrass can take a free kick on target.
Yeah, it's hard to see. It's a derby game, so you know, could be tight.
It's a derby game at the London Stadium, where West Ham have no atmosphere. They've had a really poor record most of
true.
The season.
I think that Chelsea have been flirting with a loss for a while. I mean, I think that Chelsea. I'm going to predict a West Ham win here. Not for any rational reason, but I just think that. I think that they're kind of West Ham's kind of do a win like this. Maybe they'll step it up in Antonio's absence. I mean, it would run in the face of everything, all logic. And
you just want to watch probably, the world burn. Kind of, it sounds like Josh.
I guess I do. So I'll predict a 2-1 West Ham win over Chelsea.
4-0 Chelsea.
It's probably more likely. Brandon, I've had a lot of fun today. I hope you can tell by the tone of my voice.
I feel like you're in a happy, good mood.
Yeah, I have. I laughed once, I think. I smiled internally.
You made two moonbeam jokes.
I made two moonbeam jokes.
I think that was really the key.
It was, yeah. When I start talking about Premier League mascots, you know, I'm in a good mood.
That is your wheelhouse, definitely. All right, so
funny, laugh, joke, Brandon.
If you guys have enjoyed
we hope you've all had a lot of fun and learned something here. If you do, subscribe to the podcast, please. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Acast, and you can find us on TuneIn.
Maybe, perhaps one could say wherever you get your podcasts.
That would have been simpler. Yeah.
Also, social media. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters and Facebook. It's facebook.com/alwayscheating. Or send us your elaborate thoughts via email to hailcheaters@gmail.com. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you want to hear our professional broadcasting friend Richard Orford talk to us, you have to become a Patreon of Always Cheating. Just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support our meager little podcast, and we really appreciate everyone that does.
Yeah, agreed. And thanks for listening, everybody, and I hope you were able to tolerate my Moonchester and Moonbeam jokes, and there'll be less of them next week. So good luck, and whatever City players you pick up, I hope that they're the right ones.
Amen. Macaulay forever.
You have to add that, actually. That's a good one. Can I even say Ambikani forever anymore? It's too sad. I'll just say have mercy.
Good luck in Game Week 27.
Good luck.